Hey, you want that to go?
Our first takeout is a story you may have had difficulty following with all the news from the Gulf and the situation in Times Square and the arrest over the weekend in the morning in the failed Times Square bombing case. But it's been historic devastation in the South. Flooding, the worst since the 1930s. Joining us now, Blake Farmer, WPLN reporter from Nashville, Tennessee. Good morning, Blake.
Good morning.
So the pictures of this flooding are really horrific, and the devastation is really, really significant. Listen to Letitia Hall from Nashville.
I got all my clothes out because I washed them so they clean. We had a bunch of worms and spiders jump out my clothes. Computer flipped over. The table was flipped. And just a bunch of mud and stuff everywhere.
And that's typical of the voices that you've been talking to as you survey the devastation there in Nashville. Blake Farmer, what have you seen?
Well, there's been so much loss, and I think it took a while for even folks here in Tennessee to realize how widespread the flooding was. But you're talking about, way more than 1,000 water rescues where people are leaving their homes in boats, even as late as yesterday. There were about 500 water rescues that were taking place in an area of town that was being inundated by the Cumberland River, which has become the big problem now. We had all these swollen creeks from more than 14 inches of rain in the area. And those creeks all flow into the Cumberland River, which flows right through downtown Nashville. And now the river is the problem. The river has continued to rise and perhaps crested overnight, but inundated really landmark buildings downtown. Even the Opryland Hotel, 1,500 guests had to be ferried to higher ground. So it's just been a huge mess, and it will be for weeks to come.
Now, is there an elaborate levee system there in Nashville? Are they accustomed to this kind of flooding on a seasonal basis, as you find, say, on the Mississippi watershed?
Well, the flooding is really controlled by a system of lakes, mostly dams controlled by the Army Corps of Engineers. There are levees. In fact, there's one levee that has begun to leak around a big office complex called Metro Center, where there are 150 businesses, including the offices of Nashville Public Radio, which is why I'm not talking to you in the studio. We're evacuated. But those levees, there are concern about those levees. They've already begun to leak, but they have not failed yet. Largely, there is not a big system of levees, and the flooding is controlled. I mean, people aren't talking about this as being a 100-year flood. We're talking about, 500 years or more.
And that's exactly the sentiment of Lori Ammerman, a Nashville resident who you spoke with, who has a pretty good sense of the history here. Listen.
Well, again, this is historical. I mean, they're talking that this is going to be closer to the 500-year flood mark instead of the 100-year. And just the pictures don't do it justice, so to speak. So when you see it with your own eyes, then you can kind of see it. And it's very interesting when you've, been down here last week or, and you see it before, and then it's truly amazing.
Well, Lori Ammerman says the pictures don't do it justice. Can you leave us with a picture, Blake Farmer, in Nashville, Tennessee?
It's easy to the picture that Lori Ammerman was taking was actually of herself in front of the Country Music Hall of Fame, which is partially submerged, which is a pretty astounding picture to see downtown buildings underwater. But I'd say the picture that I leave you with is one of out in the community where you're talking about entire neighborhoods that are completely flooded. People haven't been able to return to their homes. They have no idea what they'll be able to salvage when the waters do recede.
Well, he can't get into his office, but he's broadcasting for us from WPLN, reporter in Nashville, Tennessee. Blake Farmer, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
The devastation from the flooding in Nashville along the Cumberland River.
And our last takeout comes from our listeners about the failed car bombing attempt in New York City's Times Square. A few heroes have come to the front. One of them is a man of few words, a street vendor Lance Orton. He was the one who alerted the NYPD to the suspicious SUV. And as he left the police precinct on Sunday, a barrage of reporters asked him if he had any advice for New Yorkers.
Your message, Lance, to the people of New York.
See something, say something.
That's him saying, if you see something, say something. Something I hear over and over when I'm at Penn Station waiting for the train. New Yorkers see this everywhere. It warns them to be vigilant. Wherever you are and whatever dangers you face, how do you stay vigilant?
This is Mimi from Detroit. And my vigilance is for older men with younger girls. On at least two occasions, I have called the police to check on something that I thought might look suspicious. I don't know how it turned out. I don't know if they know that I'm the one who called, but that's my vigilance.
And in vigilance, you've also got stoicism, and for New Yorkers, a certain cynicism.
My name is Peter Hoagness, calling from Brooklyn, New York. To be honest, I think my life and health are more at risk in Times Square from possibly getting run over by a car. The odds of me getting injured by a terrorist incident in Times Square are just not that great. So to stay vigilant, I try and keep a sharp eye out for hypocritical politicians who try to manipulate an event like this for their own purposes.
Thinking about Paul Brown of the NYPD earlier this hour, I wonder if he'd be saying that, Peter would be, if that bomb had actually gone off in Times Square. Well, call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE when you see anything happening.
Also, during my trip last week to see our friends at WDET in Detroit, we got to take a look at the Motor City's people and politics and future. And now we're asking our listeners, what city should I be headed off for next, or the takeaway be headed off for next? We got some ideas.
This is Michelle calling from Miami Beach. I would like to recommend Youngstown, Ohio. They were the center for steel production, and after the 1970s, when that ended, it left much of the population destitute. Check it out.
I've been to Youngstown, Ohio, a fine, fine town with wonderful people, but you're from Miami Beach, Michelle. Cut me a break. Come on, you can't just suggest Miami Beach with a hotel there on the sand.
In my high school in Michigan, we actually did a field trip to Youngstown Sheet and Tube, the last modern steel plant there in Youngstown, Ohio. So your take on your community, where should we visit, what should we learn, 877-8-MY-TAKE, or post a comment on anything on the program, including the top stories at thetakeaway.org.